Welcome back to The Truth About Public Sector, the podcast where we unpack the real issues shaping procurement and supply chain across government and public services. I'm your host, Hannah Quinn-Hill, and today's session is going to be a fast-paced and practical 15 minutes where we're diving into one of the biggest challenges facing our profession, bridging the procurement skills gap and building resilient, future-ready teams. The national picture is clear. We've got a demand and capability mismatch. In 2021, analysis showed that while over half of employed adults in England and Wales held qualifications aligned to their jobs, a striking 79% of organisations still reported procurement skill gap shortages. In the public sector especially, there's growing recognition that we need to sharpen procurement governance, enhance commercial capability, and build core competencies, from negotiation and analytics to strategy and relationship management. Here's a stat that really stands out. According to research from the Innovation Procurement Empowerment Centre, nearly one in five public sector procurement professionals aren't familiar with the concept of innovation in procurement. While that might not directly measure commercial acumen, it certainly signals a gap in awareness that could be limiting our capability to think creatively and drive value. So what do we do about it? That's exactly what I want to explore in today's session. Building teams that can thrive, no matter what comes our way, is absolutely imperative to a better procurement function within the public sector. In 2021, over half of employed adults in England and Wales had qualifications matching their occupation. However, 79% of organisations experienced skill shortages in procurement. The public sector in particular recognises this need to improve, but key skills, including negotiation, strategy, analytics, and relationship management, are still reported to be lacking. In today's session, I'm going to talk to you about how we can build better recruitment processes to attract more procurement talent, invigorate our mentoring sessions so that we can build stronger teams without having to hire, and also go through retention strategy to make sure the professionals that you are recruiting and developing stay with you and are loyal to your organisation. So let's start with where we are right now. Right now, nearly one in three procurement roles remain unfilled nationally. Of those we do manage to fill, we're seeing shortfalls in key areas such as digital fluency, stakeholder management, and commercial acumen. What's the impact on the wider public sector? Well, it delays projects, creates compliant risks, and overstretches teams. The issue isn't just about hiring, it's about building resilient teams in a volatile world. Many of us have been trying to recruit independently. Whether for speed, cost, or control, it can sometimes work brilliantly, but only when the recruitment is done intentionally. My first tip in recruiting procurement professionals is to clarify your offer. Why would a candidate in the market with so many opportunities across public and private sector want to apply for your role? The next most important thing to think about is moving quickly. Long processes lose talent, and it makes the use of procurement-specific networks and jobs boards almost infantile when at the process itself, you can't move for weeks or make an offer to a candidate that you know is truly right for your organisations. One of our clients recently filled a mid-senior post using intentional hiring campaign and a well-placed LinkedIn post. Often it's about precision and not volume of applications that works the best. According to McKinsey, the average public sector time for a candidate applying to a public sector procurement job from applying and sending their CV to receiving a job offer was 119 days. In the private sector, the average of applying for a role and receiving a written offer was 21 days. That's nearly six times faster than the public sector market. And it's no wonder that people are looking to go for roles that have a higher salary offering and get those offers quicker in a more aligned and streamlined process in recruitment. In today's applications, a lot of candidates will use tools to optimise their CVs. It's not a bad thing, but it means that we as recruiters and hiring managers need to adopt our style in reviewing CVs. We need to look beyond formatting and focus on transferable skills, especially from adjacent sectors like supply chain or data analytics. A structured screen rubric helps. An interview rubric, also referred to as a hiring scorecard or scoring sheet, serves as a rating tool to evaluate job-relevant competencies during an interview or application process. If you set your criteria clearly, consistently, and most importantly in this market, realistically, you're more likely to find this tool helpful in getting through CVs and applications quicker and making sure your interviews and candidates that get through this shortlisting stage are more viable options. But don't dismiss someone just because their layout isn't perfect. Talent often hides in plain sight. If you have got AI-generated CV applications, it can be quite frustrating when you get to interview. We've got some top tips on how to spot AI-generated CVs. Look for overly generic language, lack of personalisation, inconsistencies in formatting, and unusual phrasing. AI-generated CVs may also contain excessive detail, lack of realistic career gaps, and they have strange file names or often use metadata. There are also tools that you can use to spot AI-generated CVs. Detection software such as GPT-0 have been found to be very useful in shortlisting processes and are similar to tools used within higher education when assessing assignments and submissions for essays. Interviews are also a two-way street. Candidates are assessing us as much as we are assessing them. Make your interview panels diverse and make sure your interview panels are trained interviewers. Often we find in the sector that interview panels are only basing their process on experiences they've had as candidates. This doesn't make you a good interviewer. This makes you somebody that is using unfair bias in this process. Use scenario-based questions to surface practical skills and share the process in advance. Transparency reduces anxiety and levels the playing field for many candidates with neurodivergencies. One small but powerful tip is to provide questions 30 minutes before the interview. You'll get more thoughtful responses and less guesswork from candidates. Most importantly, don't ask overly complicated, multi-layered, open-ended essay questions if you're looking for a specific response in less than 2 minutes. When an interview panel asks a multi-sentence question, it's essential for candidates to be able to show how they can handle the complex information. You can do this by either answering each part of the question separately or summarising the question before answering, demonstrating what your problem-solving skills and presence of mind is. But most commonly, ask clarifying questions, and this will take up a lot of your interview time. So ensure your interview questions as panel members are succinct, short, and if open-ended, accept that you may get varying answers depending on the lived experiences of your candidate. Retention starts the moment a candidate says yes. A good 30, 60, 90-day plan provides structure. New hires should know what success looks like by the end of month 1, 2, and 3. Create regular feedback loops early and book these in the diary so there's no opportunity to miss, skip, or allow new candidates to feel forgotten. And remember, early careers hires need different support than those of seasoned professionals. One of the biggest reasons we find that people want to leave an organisation is lack of clear direction. So let's not lose great people over silence. In the Page recent Talent Insights survey, nearly as much as 49% of professionals said that they would be open to considering a new role in another organisation. This was based on lack of perceived flexibility and work-life balance, career advancement opportunities for development and growth, honest, transparent communication with regular feedback, public recognition of their personal goals being achieved or professional celebrations, non-monetary incentives that offer a variety of awards, including opportunities for new projects or responsibilities, and also trust in the organisation, a feeling that they're not respected or supported by their leaders, not fairly compensated, or they don't feel that there is a strong company culture. You don't need to start from scratch when you're upskilling your existing team. Chances are your next leader is already in your team, so it's really important to offer bite-sized learning opportunities like micro-credentials, host internal lunch and learns, and pair junior staff with experienced mentors in or outside of your organisation. One university that we worked with doubled retention by rolling out a 12-week digital procurement skills programme. It was incredibly low cost, but it had a high impact. The development made loyal made loyalty the best friend of the organisation and ensured their team members felt like they were being invested in. Finally, what can you do next? Firstly, assess your team's strengths and gaps. Secondly, improve your recruitment toolkits, make better job descriptions, create fairer interviews. And finally, think about the onboarding and development part of your culture. Resilient teams don't just survive, they evolve on a daily matter. The reason that I've done this session today and the reason that we haven't got somebody to interview for this session is because I've been speaking a lot at different events, including ProcureX and other national conferences. One of the things that's been screaming out when we've been speaking to directors and heads of procurement from across the public sector is a real concern about evolving talent in the marketplace. Organisations are finding it difficult to hire because the commercial acumen of employees across the public sector feels like it's been lacking. One of the biggest things that has struck out in these conversations is employee opportunities to develop, to become more engaging speakers, to develop as people and feel more passionately about what it is that they do. In order to be able to deliver at board level, you have to be able to learn and become a credible individual. This can only come when organisations that you're currently working in give you the opportunity to develop and sometimes to make mistakes but learn from those errors in a safe environment where you know your team are supporting you and want you to do well. If we don't develop individuals within the sector, we're not going to be able to recruit higher level individuals when we do have gaps in the team. So this session today isn't just about sharing information, it's about explaining the Michael Page way of how we develop individuals and how passionate we are about the future of procurement. If you'd like to reach out to me and discuss more ideas, perhaps thought shower some opportunities for your team to develop internally that's going to support your retention plans, please email hannahquinnhill@michaelpage.co.uk. We'd love to have a conversation with you about your teams and what you're doing differently. Share your success stories with colleagues. Let's learn from each other and keep the conversation going.